Paul Andrews with The Business Bunker.
Welcome back to The Business Bunker Show on Kent Business Radio and Channel Radio. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto The Business Bunker Show for the very first time, Mr. Chris West. Chris is involved in business development with Canterbury City Council, and he's specifically involved at the moment with Start My Biz. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Paul. Thank you very much.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you here, Chris, and thank you so much for joining us. I want to talk a little bit about your work with Canterbury City Council, and of course you're the guys that are behind the UNConference that we're doing on Thursday, and we want to talk a bit more about that. So it's loads of things to talk to you about, but let's kick off with giving us a little bit of an overview of Start My Biz, which is a Canterbury City Council-backed organisation, I believe.
Yes, it is. It's an initiative that was developed about 4 years ago now. Start My Biz is really there to support people who perhaps have just got a business idea. They may be starting a business, they may have already started a business, perhaps at home, etc., that they just want to get that little bit more expertise to actually take it a little bit further. What we do with Start My Biz is that we have a website, which is mybiz-canterbury.co.uk. And on there is a various methods of actually support. We actually signpost. We don't really deliver. We hold a number of workshops. On average, we do at least one workshop a month, which are totally free to anyone who's take on board the workshops. And they start from a basic workshop from, is my business right for you? And it's a case of deciding whether or not it's the right type of thing. They may have a business idea, but it's how it will actually develop. So it gives them just an idea of what business is all about. It covers things like, whether I should be a sole trader, whether it should be a limited company, taxation, investment, etc. The whole works as far as starting a business up. And we get people that come onto that and say, no, it's not really for me, or yes, I really want to be involved. And there's other workshops regarding marketing, business development, business planning, writing a business plan, etc. So there's a whole program of events that they can actually go to, as I say, all free of charge. It is within the Canterbury district, but there again, if people has a business idea from outside the area, we'll talk to them, because the way I look at it is they may actually come into the Canterbury district to actually set up their business.
So,
It's open to anyone, really,
absolutely.
The initial consultation with them. The other thing that we have is a bank of mentors, professional people from accountants to solicitors to marketeers, etc., that will offer their time free of charge. And it's a case of them engaging with us, and then we can signpost them to these people and put them in touch with them.
Cool. I really like what you're doing. As you probably know, I operate as an angel investor, and I've been involved in startup businesses. I was going to say it's annoying. It's not annoying, because it's understandable. But quite often when people approach me with a business plan, they really don't even have the basics. They don't know how to set up a shareholders agreement, or what a shareholders agreement is, or what type of company they should have. And I do get lots of people these days that come along and go, oh, I'm going to start a not-for-profit company. And you go, okay, why are you doing that? Because it's then like a charity. So I love what you're doing. That signposting is incredibly valuable.
Yeah.
Because there's no reason why people should know. It's not, it's not something we teach in schools or anything like that, unfortunately. So anybody that's thinking about it needs that kind of advice. So, I love the fact that Canterbury do that. And you're also not pedantic about it. You will talk to anyone, basically.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think what you were saying earlier, that, there are really creative people that do marvellous things. I'll give you an example, actually. A chap who's 17 years old, he came to me a few months ago, and he's got this fantastic idea regarding an app. And actually, your guest earlier, Paul Cook, I've actually put him in touch with him. He's actually mentoring him at the moment. He's never started a business in his life before, but he's got a fantastic idea. And really, anyone that's got an idea, that's halfway there, really.
Absolutely.
You can do the other bits, and there are support there to actually do that. But sometimes it's a creative thing that you really need. And, we love seeing people like that.
Absolutely. Chris, and you're absolutely right. Yeah.
So I was going to say... Before we came on, you were saying that it's quite unusual for the council to be doing this. Why did
I think the thing is, at the moment, local authorities are being cut. you know, there's cuts everywhere at the moment, government funding's reducing, etc. We're very lucky that we started this, as I say, just over 4 years ago, and it's going from strength to strength. So it's a real asset. The other thing is these people are going to actually boost our local economy. So, you know, we really want to develop this and to make it happen, really.
I think that's where Canterbury really ought to be held up and applauded for having the foresight to do this, because Chris doesn't have to answer this. A lot of the public sector, because of the political pressure, are very short-termist. Yeah, they're driven by annual targets and things like that, handed down by central government, so they tend to react to that. One of the lovely things that Canterbury has recognised is that in order to accumulate, you have to speculate. So to some degree, they're speculating on building the future of Canterbury and East Kent by encouraging people to come to business. And you can tell the power of that, because Canterbury, certainly within Kent, if not the southeast of England, is one of the greatest places for startups.
Yeah.
Now, it has advantages, and some of the advantages of a place like Canterbury is three universities in the city. It's a city, but it's a very small city, but it has three universities. You know, some really good quality stuff coming out of the universities, as well as the colleges and the schools and everything else that are there. So the startup environment in Canterbury is quite endemic as well. But I applaud Canterbury City Council, and I don't always do that, I have to say. I applaud Canterbury City Council for what they're doing, because it does take foresight and it takes chutzpah to do things like that and to invest in the future when you're not measured against it.
So, started 4 years ago. Where are we with people who started right at the beginning?
We've got some great examples that people have actually gone on to, you know, start business. Actually, Sherry Newton, who was a guest of yours a few weeks ago, I met Sherry at the beginning of this year. She had an idea. She had a pretty good job in London, and she's got this idea about the healthy drinks, etc. She took a hut on the pier, and, you know, her business is going from strength to strength. And I'm sure, you know, what we see also is that people do that, and then they take on premises, and they're taking on staff, etc. And it just escalates. So we've got some good examples over the last 3 or 4 years of people that have actually developed, and now their businesses are thriving.
I like the idea, as you said already, and Paul said, you know, of giving people the sort of signposting at the time as well to make a decision whether it is the right thing or not for them, because that, in some ways, you know, redirects people, avoids some issues. Not that failure is a bad thing, as Paul said.
No, failure is good too.
But that, you know, they get a chance to analyse before they step forwards with little information. But
absolutely.
We're going to talk to Nettie in a moment, and Nettie's from Rift Accounting. So it's one of the things that they specialise in, is giving people advice on how to start businesses and what kind of structure to put in place and how to put in place a shareholders agreement and articles of association and all those kind of things you need to do. And nowadays, there are lots more vehicles than there used to be. You know, once upon a time, you had two options, a limited company or a sole trader. Now you could be a CIC, a CIO, a charity. There's all kinds of structures, and the rules on those structures have changed in the last couple of years that make it debatable about whether, you know, once upon a time, people just say, do you know what, the overhead of being a limited company is too great. But the parameters of that have changed now. You don't need to submit full company accounts. I'm looking at Nettie, in case she tells me off that I've got this wrong. You don't need to submit a full set of accounts unless you turn over more than £10 million a year now.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it makes it more doable.
Yeah, and also, I mean, it's great. I mean, we partner with Start and Grow My Biz, and we'll talk about that more in a minute with the Unconference. But you're absolutely right. I think the thing, and I'm sure you both find it as well, Paul and Chris, one of the most frustrating things is when people get the wrong advice. Yeah. Or the advice from the man down the pub about actually what you need to be.
You don't want to do it like that.
You don't want to do that. You know, I come across some absolute corkers. Yeah. But the trouble is, it's more expensive in the end to sort it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's worth having that conversation right at the start. Nobody knows what a business is going to look like in 5 years, 10 years, whatever. Yeah. But, you know, come on.
It's where I'm going to undo all the work I just did assaulting Joe about being organised.
See, we've got that assaulting, he said.
Yeah. Because you're absolutely right, and Joe's absolutely right in terms of being organised with things like this. When people come to me with an idea for a business, and I sit down and I say, look, you know, you need to have an accountant help you with this. You need to get a good accountant. You need to have articles of association. You need a shareholders agreement. And people go, oh, that will cost money. I haven't got time for that. Can't I just start the business and then do that? And you go, Oh, no.
And how many investors do you have who actually want to pay you a salary?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, if you're going to start a business and grow something, start a business and grow something.
Yeah, exactly. And so there's so many drawbacks. Mm. So I love what Start My Business and Grow My Business, and we'll come on to Grow My Business in a moment, what they're doing, because they are signposting people in exactly the way they need to be signposted, because they're the one things that most people don't understand. As Chris said, you know, people come with a fabulous idea for a business, but how do they make it work? Without being rude, you know, the admin stuff can be done by professionals.
Of course it can.
You know, accountants and lawyers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You just need to know what to look for. The ideas are the crucial thing, because you don't have a business without that. Mm. But by the same token, just having an idea doesn't get you anywhere. We used to run 10 by 10 labs in Canterbury, which is an incubator, a startup incubator. And we implemented lean techniques, because we get a lot of digital startups. And one of the problems we found with digital startups is it was started by people that are really technically smart, but they didn't actually get on with people too well. Mm-hmm. So they'd spend an awful lot of time keep reinventing their product rather than going and selling it to a customer. So I love what you're doing. So let's move on a little bit, Chris. You've got Start My Business, and then you've got an organisation called Grow My Business.
Yeah, Grow My Biz is really for businesses that have already established. Some of these people have come to us that were home workers running a business at home, and then they decided, okay, you know, perhaps I need to move into premises, working at home is not actually working out for me. And then they go, come to us with Grow My Biz, exactly the same support we give. We got mentors that will actually help them. But it's a case then of looking for premises. We have a property portal, Canterbury City Council has, with most of the properties are actually available within the Canterbury district.
Which is none. There's none. You have to come to Fruitworks.
Absolutely. Doing so well.
Sorry about that.
This is when I go. But that's the option that we have. We can give them the support. We can give them the mentoring, etc. And again, there's workshops designed for them as well. So it's a case of developing the businesses that we already have. But again, exactly with Start My Biz, I'm really, really interested to speak to people that are actually outside the area, because there are great opportunities in the Canterbury district for business relocation or perhaps starting a second business. Yeah. In retail at the moment, we're finding that businesses are actually coming into the town, especially Herne Bay at the moment, because Herne Bay's on the up.
Yeah.
And there are good business opportunities there. We've got one of the lowest retail empty business units in, certainly in East Kent. It's 3.2% of empty businesses in Herne Bay. Mm. And that's changed in the last year because people see the opportunity there. So, you know, people are actually coming into the area.
Absolutely. And it's one of those things that an entrepreneur will look at and a lot of other people won't, you know. Mm-hmm. And Herne Bay is a classic example. Mm. Everybody says, I like Whitstable, but it's ever so expensive. And you go to Herne Bay then. And they go, yeah, but it's cheap. And you go, yeah. But it won't be seen.
No, it's exactly that.
It's growing. You know, once upon a time, Whitstable was a dump, you know, and now it isn't.
Yeah. Mm.
And it's going to be right the same around the Kent coast. And one of the big things and one of the big advantages that Canterbury has, of course, is the high-speed rail link.
Absolutely.
To London. You know, the three universities, the high-speed rail link, the communication. You know, when I was much younger, Canterbury was out on a limb, really. It was a nice place, but it was a long way over there somewhere, and we didn't go there. It's not the same now. It is very heavily connected. So, yeah, I totally agree. So, Chris, tell us a little bit about why Start My Biz and Grow My Biz have got behind this Unconference. And tell us a bit about the Unconference itself.
Right. As you said earlier, Unconference, it's our second year. Last year, we got together with Rift and obviously yourselves as well, the Business Bunker. And it really was an idea that came from Rift that there was this Unconference. Not many of them were happening in the UK. We were put in touch with a chap who ran them in Boston and really was a pioneer of unconferences. And we thought, okay, we want to do something different. You know, I'm always up for doing something different. You go to conferences, etc. No disrespect to anyone that runs conferences, but sometimes it can be death by PowerPoint.
Yeah.
And let's do something different. And last year, we really did something different.
It was a bit scary, wasn't it?
It worked, though, didn't it?
It did work. I think we were all a little bit apprehensive of how it was going to work because it was quite radical what we actually did. But we got such good feedback from the event. then that, you know, we all sat down afterwards and said, come on, we actually sat down that afternoon and said, we've got to do this again.
Yeah.
And this is really where we are this year. Mm. The idea of unconference is you turn up, there is no agenda as such. The timings are worked out, but no real agenda. And when people come in, they will actually scribble down on a post-it note what they actually want to get out of the day. And we analyse that very, very quickly and set up workshops to actually then hopefully fill the needs of the delegates that are actually there. We have guest speakers, which are important, and will actually do some introductions, etc. But the idea is it's your conference at the end of the day, and you make that day.
Absolutely. It's interesting, isn't it?
Well, the answers are in the room. That's the classic, isn't it? You go to so many conferences and you listen to these people who tell you sometimes things you don't know, but quite often things you do know, you're just being reminded of it. But so many people are in that room you never, ever get to speak to and understand. And I think that's one of the key things with unconference. It's in the room.
Yeah.
And if you've got that question, the answer's there.
Yeah, absolutely. Just to prove Joe's point, although I'm chair of the event, I've got a clue what's going on because I'm not organised. So tell us what the format is, please.
How much should we tell them, though? Yeah, I don't want to tell you too much.
No, I want to give you, so those people are coming, or those people that aren't coming, is a flavour for how the day unfolds is what I'm kind of after.
Wow. How much should we give away?
I think we ought to talk about the guest speakers.
Okay, we can do that one. We can do that one. We've got three guest speakers, and they are people who you don't usually hear speak on purpose.
Yeah.
Because, again, I've been to, and I'm not knocking it, but I can go to certain events and I've seen the same people. Mm. These are successful business people that just don't generally go out there and network and talk. So we've selected them on purpose because they're different. We've got Steve Otterwill, who's had a business for, I'm going to say, 20-something years. He's Otterwill's, they're silversmiths. I won't tell you too much about what they do because he's got a fabulous presentation for
Fantastic.
Us all. But he's got an amazing business, employs a lot of people locally, and actually has an excellent job on the world stage. And he's here in Kent and unknown because he doesn't push himself forward, but he's doing the right things. We've got Sherry, who you know better than me.
Sherry Newton.
Yep, yes, Sherry Newton. But again, she's doing something with a little bit of a twist to it. Be interesting. Mm. And then in the afternoon, we've got Toby Roy, who is still, he'll like me for saying this, he's still a very young man. He's only in his early 30s. He's got a great business, growing rapidly, employing probably around 20 staff and still growing, doing IT differently.
Okay.
And again, has never been asked to speak publicly about what he does.
Fantastic. So we're looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, on the day, we're going to open it up to the floor as well. And we're we don't know what we're going to hear from whom. It's always exciting, isn't it?
Yeah.
I have to say it was one of the most interesting things I've ever chaired last year when I walked out onto the stage at 9 o'clock in the morning and said, right, we've got a whole day here and I've no idea what's going to happen. We've got nothing planned. So let's kind of see what happens.
Yeah.
But it, as you said, it was a massive success last year.
Yeah.
And it's even bigger this year.
Oh, this year we've been so chuffed.
Yeah.
We had, was it about 70, 75 people last
year? It was last year, yeah.
Originally we released 100 tickets this year. They went. Yeah. Went another 10. They went. Mm. Went another 5. They've gone. And we've actually got a reserve list and some sneaked in people as well. So I don't know how many we've got actually.
I think people will actually be sharing sausage rolls.
When we say the buffet's out, if you're hungry, go. no, we're really pleased, aren't we?
It's
really
been very pleased. Good. The other thing that we're actually doing on the day as well, as a little bit of theatre at lunchtime, there are 2-minute pitches where businesses can actually pitch their business. Okay. And we are very, very, very strict on the timing. And there is a way of getting rid of people after 2 minutes, which we will not reveal at the moment. But a case of the delegates, when they come in, they will be asked if they want to do a pitch. We'll put their business cards in a hat and we'll just pull them out. So that's a great opportunity for them to pitch their businesses.
We reckon we can get about 15 to 18-ish in, and they will be just stopped.
Absolutely.
They? I don't care if they're mid-sentence. They sit down.
Shut up, sit down.
Paul, I know you're the chair, but can you not do one?
What?
Well, it doesn't. We don't know if his name comes out the hat.
That's what I mean. Put your name in.
I don't know nothing.
Seriously. He couldn't know 2 minutes.
That's what I mean.
30 seconds.
I wouldn't know what to say. I'd dry up after about 10 seconds.
But we've actually got, we won't give away too. No, actually, it's out in the blogs, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yep.
Toby from Catch IT has donated a mini iPad for the best pitch.
Really?
Really.
Well, so, sweet. I might go for it.
But we're going to let him judge it, so yep. We'll see. So I would say those that are coming, be creative. This bit we know is going to happen, so if your name comes out the hat, be remembered.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. And, you know, it's a brilliant, brilliant event, and it is so different and so unusual and so clever. And we really do thank Canterbury City Council and Start My Biz for supporting this and making it happen. It's a great thing to do. I'm really looking forward to it.
So am I.
It's going to be loads of fun. I've got a really busy day that day, so I've got to dash backwards and forwards and stuff, but it's worth it. It's worth every minute of it because it is a good event.
I don't know about you, Chris, but I don't know what we're going to do from Friday to you. This has really caught our lives up for the last 3 or 4 weeks. Yeah. And when we put the tickets out, it was like, well, let's see what happens. And we just haven't been able to stop it, have we?
No, I think the other interesting thing is as well, we've got delegates coming from all over the southeast, really, from London, etc. People we've never engaged with, which is very exciting.
And as you say, Chris, it's introducing people to Canterbury, what goes on in Canterbury, the infrastructure of Canterbury, and it's got a lot going for it. I am a big Canterbury fan, and I know I've got a big time with it because I've got businesses there, and my kids live there and all kinds of stuff, and they went to school there. But it is a fabulous little city. Yeah. It's got all that history, all that stuff. It's got the retail sector in there, which is a huge shopping centre, but then you've got these hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of state-of-the-art digital businesses, startup businesses. Great stuff.
And there's a great nighttime economy there as well.
Exactly, yeah. I know, I can hear it on my security cameras at night. It's really funny. I log in, you know, we got burgled a few weeks ago, and somebody nicked our security cameras.
they were good then.
Yeah, they were really good. and we put in new cameras, and I'm paranoid now. I check them. And, of course, the problem is I go into the camera, and there's all this noise because it echoes in our building. And you think, my God, someone's broken in. And then all it is people out in the street, you know, queuing for things and doing stuff and all the rest of it, which is lovely. And so I got really used to it. And Saturday night, I looked onto my camera and I hear all this noise and I hear someone singing and I don't think anything. All of a sudden, somebody's face appears right in the webcam.
Oh.
And I go, oh, my God. It was a cleaner. And they were singing like mad to the camera. Cool.
So I don't know what you think, Chris, but I think people do need to come prepared to do things on Thursday.
Absolutely.
Because once we will be looking for volunteers for workshops, volunteers for pitches, etc. And any one of them, if they fit what we think the candidates are asking for, they'll be pulled out the hat and they will have probably 30 seconds, maybe a minute, to stand on stage and tell everybody what their workshop's going to be about.
Yep. Fantastic. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be so much fun. It's going to be really great. It's a bigger event than the first one.
Yes.
It's held at the Canterbury Cathedral Lodge, which is a fabulous venue. I'm really looking forward to it. And I was at an event at the Cathedral Lodge last weekend, which is the Kent Deaf Children's Society Awards of Achievement. Fantastic place to have it as well. Really good. So thank you so much for that. If you want to find out more about Start My Biz and Grow My Biz and the companies that Canterbury City Council are pushing to help you, you can follow them on the Twitter as a starting point. Yep. And the Twitter handle is StartMy_Biz, B-I-Z. StartMy_Biz. And you can find out all about what's going on there. Chris, thank you so much for coming on the Business Bunker Show and talking to us today. It's been an absolute pleasure to hear from you. And we wish you much success with business development, which is your role in the council, and this particular event as well. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you, Chris.